Hey, everybody, this is Mike from Life Moves Pretty Fast. We'd love to hear from you out there. If you're on Facebook, check us out at Life Moves Pretty Fast. If you're on Instagram, Twitter, or Periscope, look up at LMPF Podcast. Or you can email us at lmpfpodcast@gmail.com. If you can't find us now, well, it's on you. Enjoy the show.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
I don't like listening to myself. So
good.
I don't know how other people feel about
You don't like
that.
Listening to yourself?
No.
Why not? Like, you don't record your sets?
No. I did in the beginning, and I noticed, like, so many comics do that, and I have, like, a really good memory. I just take notes right after my set, and I'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, you remember which jokes you did in the heat of the moment? I'm like, yeah. I didn't black out on stage. Like,
it was 4 minutes ago.
Yeah. I just take notes.
You're not pulling up old sets that you didn't. I did tell that joke back in '86. Yeah. That was a good bit.
And the mic never captures it right. I mean, both ways. Sometimes, like, it's not that loud. You can't hear the audience at all. And then sometimes everything sounds like it killed. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't remember it's just it doing silverware that well. That you're picking up the back of the house on the microphone. And
exactly.
Not hearing anything else.
Your iPhone's turned the wrong way. So you're just, like, right in the middle of your set. And you're just like, I got your check, everybody. I got your check. All right, let's get started.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Laugh Moves Pretty Fast. I am BJ McGevely.
Mike Bissett.
Four Story of the Treehouse, San Diego, California. Today we got a really fun guest, man. How long have we been talking about trying to get you down here? A couple months at least.
Oh, it's at least 6 months. Since the Bowling Green Massacre.
Hey, never forget.
Never forget the Bowling Green Massacre.
Or forget, because it never happened.
Because it never happened.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We've been trying to coordinate. You live in Long Beach. You don't live down here, but you're down here at least once a month.
Yeah, especially this last, man, it's been like every weekend since the beginning of 2017.
That's
crazy,
buddy.
I don't know why they like me here.
Well, love you. We love you in this house.
I'm a big fan so far.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to clap them in proper. Stand-up comedian Daniel Eaches.
Yeah.
It's just
the two of us.
Yeah. It's just us.
I'm sure this could... Who's doing that?
Well, thanks for coming. But Daniel is a guy that I met you probably 3-4 years ago. Used to do, well, not even that long, 2 years ago maybe. Right?
I don't know where I met you.
With Mikey.
Oh, yeah, that must have been the first time.
Yeah, you used to do improv with my brother Mike.
Well, yeah.
He was on the podcast last week. We talked about such trying topics as abortion. And
it was a light episode.
It was a light episode. Yeah, we did. We got a new abortion and all that fun stuff. So we're going to keep it.
Beyonce is going to name her twins. Right. You know, fun things.
We're going to get to the heavy stuff this week.
Yeah.
Did the abortion conversation have anything to do with the Beyonce conversation?
No.
Okay.
We didn't suggest that you have them right after each other. I was just thinking of the most poppy thing that I could think of right now. The most unoffensive. And that came up.
Yeah, that's like the most popular thing in the world right now is Beyonce having twins. Yeah. Is she that important?
No. No, I don't think anybody is.
I think a lot of women love Beyonce.
Well, a lot of men do too. I mean,
she's a good looking lady and she's very talented. She's a great singer and dancer and she's wealthy and is very successful. But, like, what else? Like, why?
I don't know. I honestly don't think that many people loved Destiny's Child. You know what I mean? Like, they just hopped on the Beyonce train. Like, I've always loved her. I'm like, you didn't love her back then.
Right. You have Kelly Rowland and
the other one.
The other one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I'm proud of you for coming up with the other one. With Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you for that.
Yeah.
I think, too, it's just people have just been bogged down so much in these last few days, these last few weeks, that any news to distract you is going to be latched onto.
Right.
And did you hear about the horrifying thing that happened today? Yes, I did. Okay. Well, hey, let's talk about Beyonce's twins. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to pop your mic there.
I mean, that's good. Beyonce's having twins.
Good for her.
Good for her and Jay-Z. I'm assuming it's Jay-Z, right? Weren't they getting a divorce? I don't know these things.
I don't remember.
Tim has Entertainment Weekly on the coffee table.
He's gone. Your roommate Tim's gone. Hey, speaking of twins.
Right. A good segue. Look at you.
Hey.
Look at you on top of it.
Yeah. former two-time guest of our podcast.
Two-time favorite guest of the podcast.
Yeah, just had her twins
mm-hmm.
a couple days ago, a week ago.
Week ago-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So welcome Alice and Amelia into the world.
Thank you, yeah. Why did I say thank you?
Like, right. I was like, wait.
I didn't do it.
Well, technically, we kind of did have something to do with it. We're going to update you real quick.
Okay.
One of our past guests, an old friend of mine, came on the podcast last, like, May and was talking about how she is...
Was it 9 months ago?
It was.
Look at you with the math, Daniel.
Came on and was talking about how she was basically deemed medically sterile and then really wanted to have babies with her husband and then going through in vitro fertilization. And now she is just had twin babies.
Oh.
And she came back when she was 8 months pregnant and mm-hmm. did another podcast. Mm-hmm. And so she just had her babies. So, yay.
Congratulations. Wow.
Yeah, she listens every week. We love you, girlie. She's not listening.
She's
right
not.
Now.
She's yeah, there's no she's, way she's listening.
I was
right.
gonna say I feel bad. I didn't say I love her. I don't know her.
She won't hear this. It's
okay,
fine.
That's good.
Yeah, she's got babies.
Well, in that case, I love you.
Right.
I'm sorry.
All right. So I want to talk to you a lot about stand up.
Yes.
And I want to talk to you a lot about stand up because I have been following you on all your social media stuff for the last I don't know at least year and a half.
That's weird.
I'm a fan.
Oh, okay. That's
I'm a
not that
fan.
Weird.
I've seen you twice. Man, you're a funny son of a bitch. And what I respect about you a million times over is that, and Mike said it before we started when I was kind of trying to describe you, is that, man, you are a grinder. You are out there like, what, 5 nights a week?
Seven, usually.
Seven?
Yeah.
Oof. Look at me. Look at me lowballing you.
Yeah. You work five
yeah,
nights
who
a
do
week.
You think I am? Jeez.
I'm not some 9:15 to 9:45-er.
Yeah, it's usually every night.
That's good, man.
That's
I mean,
insane.
And you've been
That's
doing
a lot
it.
Of work.
You've been doing it 6 years.
8 years this week.
8 years this week.
Mm-hmm.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah,
thank you.
Where was your very first gig?
My very first book show, the very first time. Man, there's been a couple firsts. You know what I mean? It was one of those where it was like the first time ever. I was in my friend's backyard, but I don't really count that because I just got a couple friends. I was like, we're going to do stand-up comedy, and I put together 45 minutes because I thought that's what comedians do.
Oh, Mike and I did that one.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, like, it was a backyard
like,
thing.
We could each do 30. Like, four comics do 30 minutes. It was, like, our... Like my second time doing stand-up,
yeah.
And Mike's first, and we're like, yeah, we're going to fucking kill.
And everyone's yelling, tell that one story.
Right.
So, yeah, I and then I didn't do it again for like 4 or 5 months because I thought, oh, that was the end of that thing, got that out of my system, and then ended up trying it the first time at a coffee shop, which when I did it was called Coffee Haven, and then it turned into a gay coffee shop called Eye Candy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I haven't been. Why are you looking at me?
I
haven't
don't know.
Been there.
I didn't know where. I don't know where.
That's the correct response. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. That's like a good. Good for
Tim,
you.
No. What about Eye Candy? Tim's gone.
Tim's
we,
gone.
We covered that.
Okay. So the first. Okay. First. I don't know. I count when you did it with your friends. I do. I kind of count that a little bit.
Okay.
Because it takes. I mean, like literally, like in a backyard. Was there a microphone?
I don't think so.
I say no mic. Okay, no
just,
mic. No
just
mic. It
Shakespeare
count.
In the park.
Yeah, we had a
with
friend
stand-up comedy, basically.
Pretty much yeah. Out in the country. It was a girl who lived out in the country who had like a sort of a big house and a really big backyard.
Just come over, bring a cooler, a Bush Light, and just let's tell some
jokes.
Tell some jokes.
Oh, probably more like High C Light or Kool Aid Light or something.
Oh,
it was this was high school. Her parents were very like,
oh, really?
Involved. They were there watching. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, all right. At that point when you first walked off stage for the first time, because I remember when I did it, but I got kind of thrown into it when I had my first stand-up show. It was right after 9/11, which is a great time.
Hilarious time to start telling
great,
jokes.
Great time to start your stand-up career.
And I love just the idea of somebody throwing you into it after 9/11. Like,
right.
You need to go do this, BJ. And right. Like, well, the whole world's just going crazy.
Right. And so the first gig was my friend Darcy called me, and she goes, hey... At the time, I forget what she was doing. She was like promoting or doing something with like promoting shows like in LA. She goes, hey, I have a show at the House of Blues in Hollywood for a families of 9/11 like memorial fund, like charity event. She goes, can you come and host it and do like 10 minutes of stand up? She's like, you've always been funny. And I was 19 years old, 20 years old. And I'm like, yeah, I can do it.
Oh, no.
And it was at 10 o'clock in the morning is when it started.
I mean, okay. Everything you've just said is a challenge for, like, I mean, like, for me, for people who have been, like, doing it for a what, 10 a.m. show, those are terrible. Right. It's
anything when the sun's out, it's a terrible show.
A charity event sometimes are like isn't that good, depending on what it is. And it's for 9/11 families. Like,
after America's worst disaster.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be, like, really seasoned.
Right.
To win them.
No, I wasn't. That was first one right out the gate. And I was telling, like, fucking, like, Crocodile Hunter jokes and just, like, and I... It was terrible. It was terrible. And that first bomb, it puts you into a corner and you just never want to come out of it. But the funny part is that I had to go out up front and do 10, but then I had to announce all the other acts for the rest of the show. So after the first bomb, kept having to go out, and I'm just like, it's a band. They're called Death Destruction. Just give them a round of applause. I don't care.
Death Destruction at 10 a.m. or I guess it's 10
for 9/11 families. Yeah. That sounds appropriate.
She was not a good event promoter. I'll tell you that right now.
Man. Yeah.
So you're down here this weekend at the Comedy Palace.
Yes.
San Diego. You
I was
are,
there last night. Yeah. Tonight.
Two
well,
shows.
This isn't live, so.
No.
I was there at some date in the past.
Check your local list.
Yeah.
And man, you're down here all the time. You do the whole circuit down here, except for you've never done ACC, right?
Yeah, I've never done that. I don't even know the first thing about it.
It's a basement with a stage.
Mm. There's a microphone.
I heard it's nice.
It is nice. It's a very good club. It's a very good club. So anyone, most of our listeners are probably in San Diego. So we'll definitely put up all of your info. And you'll probably be back in like 2 weeks, let's be honest.
I will, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be in 2 weeks?
You want to plug it?
Club. Oh, I will be at the Madhouse on a Sunday. I don't know the date. You'd have to go to danielichis.com, and there's a button for shows, or danielichis.com/shows, EACHUS.
There we go. I was just going to do that. All right, now another question. Why don't you have a podcast? I mean, are you a podcast listener?
Honestly, I'm really not. And it's not because when I, the only thing that I even comes close to is I'll listen to comedians in cars getting coffee. But even now at this point, it's because it's basically a podcast.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And that's as close as I get. And even now I'm starting, I'm kind of tired of it, but I'm just watching it because I have been watching it. And I'm like, I guess I have to, I got to finish it, you know?
Do I really care what?
Well, they just had
Mariska Hargitay has to say.
Wait, is that the who's the?
That's the girl from Law and Order.
Oh, okay, it's a girl. What's the dude's name? Who's
Jerry Seinfeld?
That's what it is. And what does he do again?
He does a almost podcast called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
No, the German guy, the guy from Inglourious Basterds, and the bad guy. He was also the bad guy Inspector, the latest James Bond.
Christ, what's his name?
That guy.
Hey,
let me figure it out.
He was also in he was the other one in Destiny's Child. he was the guest this last week.
That's cool.
And they barely talked, one, about anything, and two, definitely nothing about comedy. What is this show at this point?
what kind of car were they in?
They were in a nice German car. It was an older...
Okay.
The car part's cool, but I like them... Talking about comedy. Do you watch? Do you guys
watch
that show?
Yeah, I do watch it. Yeah,
it's so obvious when he's not with friends.
Oh,
have you ever noticed that? Like when he's friends with that comic, that it's usually a really good episode.
The Brian Regan one sticks out.
Yeah. But man, like I love Stephen Colbert, and I couldn't wait for that Stephen Colbert episode because that was right before he switched to CBS, and it was like, oh, this is the first chance of seeing the real Stephen Colbert. And man, like you could tell they've never met. I don't think
really
ever. Hmm. There were like
I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, cutting him off, and there were a couple like Jerry kept trying to make jokes when Steven was like trying to be real, and it was weird. Yeah. It was awkward, kind of like this.
Daniel, I thought things were going pretty well.
Right. I don't know. I'm not a huge Seinfeld fan. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm not a Jerry Seinfeld. I think every interview he gives now, there's a sense of cockiness to him.
Yeah,
and it's. I get it, I get the persona of being cocky, but he just kind of has like a, this is what I do, and I know that I'm great at it. And if you don't laugh at me, like, then there's something wrong with you. Like, there's not anything wrong with me. Like, I look at someone like Chris Rock, who, like, last night just went out, and because he's going on tour again, last night went out, sold out the Comedy Store, and did his hour in front of, like, his full hour in front of a obviously sold-out room.
Yes.
And I'm only assuming it's going to be incredible, but he's always been, like, very humble, I feel, when it comes to actually doing stand-up, like, the whole process of stand-up. Him, Dave Chappelle, Dave Attell, those are people who I really think, like, appreciate, like, the art of doing stand-up comedy. I think Jerry Seinfeld has gotten himself to a level to where he's just kind of like, I mean, he's like, I need it. He goes, and if you don't give it to me, like, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
To where he doesn't really work for it as hard as he did.
I don't know about, I really haven't watched a whole lot of interviews with him lately, other than Comedians in Cars. But, I mean, for me, he's on my Mount Rushmore, I would say, of comedy. Seinfeld. I loved the show. I loved that he worked clean, so that I could listen to him when I was with my dad, you know, and younger. And then, you know, of course, later on, it became Dave Attell and, you know, these guys.
Right.
But, I mean, you work pretty clean.
Yeah.
Right? So is a guy like Seinfeld, and Brian Regan works pretty clean too. I mean, are those kind of guys that you studied more than, say, a George Carlin or a Lenny...
Lenny Bruce.
Lenny Bruce. It's
funny because I hate the term clean comedy. I really do. Like, as
DJ,
an audience,
will you rewind the podcast and cut me out of that.
No, I'm not like people saying it. Yeah. Just like being labeled, and I get it because everyone does that. They're like, you work clean mostly, right? But I don't know. As an audience member, if somebody said, come see this clean comedy show, I probably wouldn't see it. I'd be like, this doesn't sound very good or interesting. To me, like, what's funny is funny, and, like, I just try to be funny, and it comes out clean, and that's just the way I do it. But, I mean, yeah, like, people like Dave Attell, Louis C.K., like, I'm big fans of all of them. And sure, like, Jim Gaffigan is in the mix, too, and he works clean. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just try to say what's funny, and that's how it usually comes out. I'm not like actively trying to like, I want to be able to do this in a Mormon church, like, you know.
I want to do my special with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir behind me.
Not that you wouldn't take that booking.
Oh, I probably would.
You'd probably play there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, it's just
Around a bunch of Mormon boys. Come on, hello heaven.
I don't like the label. You know, it's just like as comedy is comedy. And you know, it's funny that, like, what is everything else? Because you look at most stuff on TV is clean. It's got to be TV clean. That's where
the
term
came from.
You got
to be ready to go for a network or something.
Well, that's what Mike told us, a story about going to your show. I think you were doing a showcase for a special or a spot on TV, and he said there was a guy there that just crushed. And at the very end, he goes, I had a fucking great time tonight. Thank you guys so much. Good night. And he was disqualified.
Oh, yeah. That was, that.
Yeah.
But, so
yeah.
I mean, there's a political side to it where certain networks don't want you to cuss at all or whatever,
of
obviously.
Course.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I've never been a big fan of the label. I think I think most people, when they hear like clean comedy, they think, oh, old people, you know, like, right? Do you think young?
Like,
if I say close your eyes and picture a clean comedian that's not Brian
like,
Regan
oh, great.
Or someone.
That's,
you picture
that's what
an old
I would
person.
Think of. Right. I would think of not only my grandfather, but also, like Brian Regan or Jerry Seinfeld, for the most part.
When in reality, most things you see on Comedy Central are clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's weird that,
But if I go to the Madhouse tonight, there's going to be F-bombs and GDs and JCs. I mean, that's going
to
be...
Well, that's a problem with being at... Well, you have to think about it from a level of... You have the level of, like, Attell and Regan. Like, obviously, separate ends of the spectrum. But... I mean, for starting out, for like starting comedians, like I can remember when I was starting and I did horrible, horrible gigs to where people would go there and I did bringer rooms. For years I did bringer rooms.
Uh-huh.
And it would just be people going out there and just like they would like tell their joke and like, I don't care about you. Like, you're not my friend. So be like, so I was walking down the street and And then just point at their friends and be like, yeah. And they would get their laughs and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what you did during your first set. but
except
right.
I had the Mormon Tabernacle Choir on CD playing behind me.
Right behind
yeah.
you. no, but that was it. I mean, like, there's a way to, you know, do your comedy, whether it's dirty, clean, or however you want to just do it. As you said, I agree with you 110%. Funny is funny. I love Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
I love Brian Regan. Seinfeld, bit. Yeah. But but yeah, I don't know why I have such a hatred toward Jerry Seinfeld, but I do. And then you take other guys. I'm, like I said, the opposite. Attell, Greg Giraldo was loved him.
Yeah, he was great.
But it's funny because
they built their brand up from the beginning. So people just coming out there and throwing out shit, dick, and pussy jokes like right out the gate, like that's not really going to get you anywhere if you don't have any structure to it.
Well, and I think a lot of those people are doing it because they think that's what funny is, whereas sure. I feel like somebody like Attell, that's just him being funny. That's just what he thinks is funny about mm-hmm. the world, and that's the way that it comes out based on his experience, because it goes both ways. Like the comics who try to be clean, who aren't naturally clean, it's always terrible. Like anytime you have to, we're doing a clean show, and somebody dirty's like, I can do that, and then they do it, and it's just terrible. Because then they're like, oh, clean comedy sucks. It's just like, no, that's not you. Like, you don't know how to do that's just, it's not natural for
it
you.
It seems like and possibly a different art form, too. Really.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's a different type of delivery.
Sure, but I mean, it goes both ways, too. You know, if you're not naturally dirty and you go out there and try to do dirty jokes, like, it's going to come off as weird, too.
And that's.
Yeah, and you see that a lot with comics, like just trying to be dirty for the sake of it, and that's not who they are naturally, and it just comes out weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you're definitely on like an upper level now to where like, I mean, what level would you say you're at? So, let's say.
Well,
like,
we're on the fourth floor.
Hey.
All
right, let's say level one is open micer when you first started. Let's say level six is top of the game. Where do you think you're at right now?
I don't know. I can't. That's hard to say, like, put myself in the levels. I don't know. I think if I have a list of 1,000 things to do in comedy, maybe I've crossed off 100 of them.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Sure. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I look
so
at...
So level five.
Because I ended up... I mean, to be honest, like, I gave up. Like, I got, like, a really good insight, like, into the life of it, and I just realized, like, it was not for me. Like, I mean, it was obviously the work. I mean, I liked doing the work, but I realized... I liked what I do now a lot more than I liked actually put. I would rather put in the work to work with animals and put in the work to do stand-up. So then it became like, all right, stand-up is no longer going to be a thing for me that I need to do. It's just going to be something that I like to do.
Sure.
So I would just go out and do shows, and I would dick around or whatever, and I'd write every now and then. But it just became like a fun hobby for me, and luckily I was still in contact with people that could book me on shows. And I've done, I don't know, 2 in the last, like, year out here. But it's been, like, fun. Like, there's, like, no pressure for me to do it.
Yeah.
I totally lost my train of thought.
I don't know where you're going either. What level of comedy are you on, BJ?
Me?
From 1 to 6.
-2.
Just, you're
negative
in the basement.
Yeah, I have a podcast, so that automatically brings me down two pegs. So I worked up a little
Thanks
bit.
For listening, everybody.
Right. No, but I think, I mean, and the reason why I ask you, like, why you don't have a podcast is because I listen to podcasts religiously. There's yes, you can say a million comedians all have podcasts, but it is a medium that I think is, like, taking the frickin' world by storm.
Yeah, oh, it's really big right now. I don't want to say I missed the boat, because I guess you can always start it, but I guess I got just too many other things I'm focused on, and I was like, oh, well, I kind of... miss that one, you know, maybe in the future if I think of some sort of clever idea or feel like I don't know.
Well, I mean, you have one. I mean, you do a web series. What is it? Big shit. Mike told me, and I meant to write it down.
Oh, you didn't write. It's not in the notes.
It's not in the notes.
Unprofessional.
Unprofessional.
Unprepared.
Work with these people.
God.
Oh, hey, we're
Bigfoot Chasers.
Take 2 on that one.
Oh,
tell us more about your web series. What's it called?
Bigfoot Chasers.
Bigfoot Chasers.
Should I not point out that you edited this part because you forgot the name Bigfoot Chasers?
I'm going to leave it in.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
No, I leave it all in.
We're rolling. We're live to tape.
I don't got that kind of equipment.
level 3 of the podcast world here. Jeez. Yeah.
Fourth story up, 2 in our hearts.
Yeah, doing sketches, acting stuff, stand-up. Like, there's so much out there, and there's so much I want to do and am trying to do and all that I guess... I mean, podcast is another one. I just, haven't gone there yet.
Now, do you still do improv? Because, like I said, I met you when with Mike, when you were doing improv with Mike.
Yeah, I haven't done improv in a while. It was fun, and I won't say that I'm done doing improv, but I did a short form team for a long time, a couple short form teams for a long time, and then moved to a sort of a mid form group or whatever you would call Bacon that I did with Michael, and it was a lot of fun, and I liked doing it, and it was really different, completely different than stand up, and I don't know.
That was a new thing that you tried to tackle. Like, this was after stand up. So you're just like, I want to try something else.
Right. I remember I was at a stand-up show, and I'd been doing it for a couple years, and somebody came up to me and was like, hey, do you do improv? And I was like, yeah, even though I'd never, never done it, never even done any theater games or anything like that at that point. And he was like, I'd invite you out to this audition. And I auditioned, and I got in, and we were immediately doing three shows a weekend. So it was just like all this stuff being thrown in my face of like rehearsals, and that was Secret City and in Fullerton, and and those were, you know, that's short form, so it's more games and stuff, and I definitely learned a lot more once I got into like more of the mid form stuff and all the Bacon and the Stages Theater and all that, and that was great, and I had a lot of fun, and I'm definitely not opposed to doing it again, but improv is one of those things where I just feel like if you're not fully committed to it,
you have to immerse yourself in it.
Then you're never gonna be more than mediocre, I don't think.
Sure. And I mean, with you doing stand up too, like, how can you split? I mean, to be a successful comedian, you can't do stand up 2 or 3 nights a week and then improv 3 nights a week. You're not gonna be successful in either one.
That's what it came down to, especially with Bacon at that time, which was the improv group I was in before. They wanted to do rehearsals on Friday nights, and I was like, I do stand up, like, that's one of my biggest nights. Like, I'm always booked on Fridays. And they're like, well, that's when we do improv, so you're either on the team or you're not. And so I think we did it for a while and then switched to a different day, but
yeah,
it was tough.
You feel bad. You're like, why are you're not committed to the team, Daniel?
No, I'm like, I'm trying. Jeez. I came up with a name. What do you mean I'm not committed?
Do it for the love of comedy. That's why I'm doing stand-up.
I know.
I'm still doing comedy.
Going back to podcasts, one that I listen to every day is I'm from the LA area. I'm actually from Whittier, close to where you're from. You grew up in the greater Los Angeles area.
Right.
Kevin and Bean are a podcast that I listen to all the time. Mm. And you were a finalist last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the opening the April Foolishness show, which I think is pretty cool. You're one of 10 guys that...
it was cool because they
opened the show.
They handpicked 10 people, and I got picked by them, which was awesome.
I was thrilled
just to be that. And then from there, it was like... have your friends come vote on the website thingy, right. And I lost. I wasn't as popular. The guy who won is actually a good friend of mine. He's super funny, but it was cool just to be a finalist.
That's fantastic. Are they doing the show again this year?
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either.
Would you consider going out after that title again?
Probably. Yeah, I heard from my friend who did it. He was like, "Oh, it's kind of rough. You go up." You're first,
yeah.
And people are still coming in, and it's still daylight out, and they're all there to see all these big names, and they're like, "Who the hell's this guy?" Yeah. And
take like the old what's that show in Philadelphia that Opie and Anthony did? Do you know that story?
Uh-uh.
Oh, Opie and Anthony did a show at like Eagle Stadium or something, and they had like every East Coast comic, like Bill Burr or whatever. It was just like 15 enormous heavy hitters.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
And everyone just started like booing guys, like like Dom Herrera.
Dom
Herrera
really?
Killed, but started booing like, I don't know who it was, Geraldo or Robert.
And then Bill
Kelly.
Burr came out.
Bill Burr came out and just fucking crushed him. He was just like, you're not getting me off stage. Like every comedian, they would like boo off stage. And he goes,
wow.
You're not taking me off. I would highly recommend everybody YouTube that video.
Well, that's Philadelphia for you.
Amazing.
Because
he just puts it to everybody in the audience. I couldn't even imagine. I don't think that's a good venue for comedy.
Like too many
big
people,
arenas, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, what was the one? What was that tour that they did? Like the last like 2 summers, but this summer it completely flopped.
Oh, you're talking about the Funny or Die one?
No, not Funny or Die. I can't think of the name of it. I'd have to look it up.
I don't know.
but it was like a traveling show.
Right.
Where, I mean, they would
the
kind
one
of
with Dave
in.
Chappelle headlined this last year. Is that
yes.
the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes. But they would, I mean, they'd kind of mix
Oddball.
In. Like, Oddball, that's yeah. what it was. Yes. But they would kind of, throughout the cities, they would mix in, like, whatever. Like, all right, Louis, can you do Dallas? So Louis C.K. would headline Dallas. Chappelle headline wherever, St. Louis, Columbus, whatever. So they'd mix it all in. But, like, halfway through, like, they're just kind of like, nobody's buying tickets for this.
Right.
So, like, the first summer is super popular. But then they're like, yeah, let's do it again. So they just up the ante on more people, up the tickets. And they're just like, yeah, this isn't a good place to watch comedy. I would never go and watch stand-up from nosebleeds at fucking Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do that. There's no intimacy. There's no, like, you just don't get the same feel. Like, one of the coolest moments that I've ever seen is, like, watching good comics at, like, the Improv, which I think is a great, amazing comedy club.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
but, like, Geraldo, I saw Mitch Hedberg, I saw Chris Rock. I was lucky enough one night when I was doing stand-up, Chris Rock came in and did a drop-in set. So, like, just, like, watch them, like,
yeah.
that close. Like, that's, I think, where it is with comedy.
Well, I think now, especially with, like, yeah, Netflix, YouTube, really, like, all that stuff. When you're in a big arena as a comic, like, you can't really play to specific people. Mm-hmm. You kind of got to just put on a show at that point. And if you want to see somebody put on a show, you watch them on Netflix, you know,
yeah,
you watch
yeah.
you watch their special on Comedy Central or whatever. I think people go to live shows to, yeah, so they could feel like they're a part of it. Excuse me. To have that, like, intimate feeling and I don't know.
Yeah,
watch them try new stuff like that. You're not
sure.
going to see a comic try much new stuff in an arena.
You know? No, not at all. It better be pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's very few that have done it. Like, I don't know. I think the last one was probably like Dane Cook and like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, you also got to be a big. Dane Cook is very big on stage, like
yeah.
physically.
But also too, like if you're going, you're going to see Dane Cook.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So you have that expectation of this is Dane, this is what he does. If you're going to something like Oddball, then it's like, oh, well, I just want to see Bert Kreischer and Louis C.K.
Right,
And everyone's talking during Aziz Ansari, who's another comedian I absolutely hate. But, like, I don't like him. I don't think he's funny. Hashtag Aziz Ansari. I'm kidding. I don't know why. I just don't think he's very funny. I would be talking during Aziz Ansari, or that would be the time when I'd get up and go to the bathroom. So, like, if you liked Aziz Ansari, and I would be, like, getting up and be like, excuse me, or, like, talking to you, it'd be like, dude, I came to see him. Mm-hmm. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, have you ever gotten heckled?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hard? Like, or is it, like, a regular thing, or is it just kind of like...
Well, I mean, some guy told me he'd kick my ass if I didn't take my beanie off on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he mean it?
He was drunk, but, yeah, he meant it, yeah.
Oh,
it was like a big guy in overalls. Like in my mind, and it's probably just turned into this, but in my mind, he was that dude on Joe Dirt who's like, oh, see homos naked? Like that guy.
Right.
It was him who heckled me. Like that. He looked just like him, I swear.
That's
it wasn't
awesome.
Him. But you know what I mean?
Like, did he have like a shirt on under his overalls, or was it just like just
No, he had a shirt on. It was at some restaurant that was like a free show. This was years ago. And I mentioned something about a beanie, and he just was like, all right, take it off. And at first, I tried to ignore
That's
him.
Something he should yell at, like, maybe a strip club,
right.
Not at a comedy show.
I tried to ignore him and just keep going and just, you know, try to be confident on stage and keep, you know, doing my stuff. And then he stood up. He's like, I said, take your fucking hat off right now. And I was like, oh, shit. And everyone's looking at me like, what are you going to do? And I was like,
is this part of it?
And I
You're up, comic.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do. I made some cheesy joke just like, oh, you didn't pay enough to see that show, buddy. Just hoping that people would laugh and he'd sit down. But
Right. Nope,
he started rushing the stage or walking to the stage and was like, Stumbling. I said, take your fucking beanie off right now or I'm going to kick your ass. And he starts getting closer and pretty soon bouncers had to come in and tackle him. So,
wow,
oh, that's awesome.
Or I think it was the booker. They didn't have bouncers at the restaurant. But
right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
While they had him pinned down, did you put your beanie on him? You say, here you go. You can wear this out.
No, but I put my balls on his
Yes.
face.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right in the overalls.
Exactly. Right in the pocket.
Now, yeah, I mean, L.A. was, and like I said, I only did stand-up in L.A. I never really traveled in a little bit in Orange County. You do the road a decent amount, right? A lot? Like,
I mean, there's definitely comics who do it more, but I try to stay local. But, I'll go out on the road at least once a month. I'll do, like, a big...
I mean, I've seen you, like,
show.
You go up to, like, Oregon, Washington,
yeah.
like, first of all, I don't even know how the hell do you get those gigs? Because I always, like, I was at the point where, like, when I was doing stand-up, I was like, I want to go on the road.
He's funny. That's how he gets those gigs.
It's
the secret. You have to be funny.
He has credits.
Yes.
It's just networking. You have a comic.
Spike TV and Laughs on Fox.
It's true. Yeah, you have headliners who a lot of times get asked to bring a featured act. Or sometimes they just like to bring a featured act because they want somebody funny or they want somebody who has a specific style. And so, yeah, I would get asked to do feature sets for different headliners and go up right before them. And then you'd meet the club owner, you'd do well there, and they'd go, hey, let's have you come back and headline yourself in a month, or not a month, but in a year or whatever.
So as a headliner, I think, like, if you go on stage, like, you have, like, 60, right? Is that, like, standard?
Yeah, it's pretty standard.
I mean, I know this. Yeah, I'm just trying to explain it to everybody who doesn't know out there.
Right. Now, I know you're busy 7 days a week, but who would you go out right now? Excuse me. Who would you go out and pay to see?
Oh, BJ McEvely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Down at BJ's. Restaurant.
Right.
BJ's.
Catch me on the patio. BJ's at BJ's. Opening for Alonzo Bowden. Winner of third season of Last Comic Standing.
I think right now Bill Burr is killing it. Yeah. I know he drops in a lot, but I have not gotten to see him live. So
really?
I really want to see him. I want to see him work out some new stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always doing new stuff, but I want to go. I specifically want to see him do a show where he's trying stuff for the first time.
Yeah, that's the really cool thing about San Diego, is that San Diego is a very big comedy city in the sense that a lot of the L.A. guys will work out all of their stuff at L.A. They'll do the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, all of that. And then once they think they have it, like, almost there, like, almost ready to start doing theaters and go on the road, then they branch out. The first place they come to, Diego.
Yeah.
First place they come to is San Diego. So you actually get to watch them, like, right in the middle of, like, I'm about to film my special.
Yeah.
This is it. Let's see if it works because it's close to home.
I like San Diego doing shows down here. It's like a nice, I mean, it's not like middle America, but it is a much more general audience than you would get in LA where everyone's very LA.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. They definitely go down that road.
I went to Cal State Fullerton. I was at the Improv up there in Brea and Irvine a lot, and we would get in Wednesday nights pretty much for free. I mean, you'd have to buy the minimum, but with your college ID, they'd let you in for free. And this was before Tosh was Tosh. So he would come in and he'd do a solid 30 minutes, and then he'd just pull out a notebook and go, all right, try some stuff.
Yeah.
And seeing a pro like that work out new things on a Wednesday night in Orange County, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It really is amazing seeing those guys. I mean, you really are watching someone who is pretty good at what they do try new stuff and fail.
I think he's fine in Malibu in his mansion.
He's doing all right
Tosh
now.
He's doing good.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, this was, God, I don't know, 15 years ago?
Didn't have it then.
Yeah, didn't have it then. But it is fun to, like you said, you want to see Bill Burr work out new stuff.
Right,
It's fun to watch the mechanics of that.
And it's funny to watch people, like, when you get to say, like, I saw them, like, back when. Like, Mitch Hedberg is one of the top that I can be like, I saw Mitch Hedberg live once.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. Well, it's incredible now. Like, watching it, like, and we talked about his Comedy Central Presents special, right?
We did,
To where, like, half of it was a complete and total disaster. It was a bomb. But then he ended up, like, bringing it back. That's kind of how his set was when I watched him, to where, like, some of it was like, all right, we're not really with you right now, Mitch. And then he ended up just bringing it right back.
Yeah, that's talent.
Yeah, it is talent. But you need that with one-liners.
Yeah.
That's a lot of space to fill. It's a lot of jokes.
Well, his thing was consistency. You just keep pounding it and pounding it, and eventually he'd be like, oh, okay.
Right. Well, that's the thing I love about certain jokes, like, and I think we brought it up again, Eddie Izzard did it, to where it's just like you do something that's kind of funny, and then you do it till it's not funny, and then you do the exact same thing till it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, to where it's just you find that awkwardness, and you just sit there and just go like, okay, once it's awkward, like, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I feel bad. You wrote all these notes, and I think I feel bad. I'm like, oh, is he going to get to all the questions? Or I don't know.
What else?
Oh, no,
are they questions?
Questions?
What are they?
No, it's
oh, those
questions.
Are drawings.
These are drawings. Yeah.
You drew a picture.
Draw a lot of penises on there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That looks good.
I drew a picture of a butt plug for, at the end of the show for you to plug your dates.
Ah.
So, yeah, no. I keep looking at this note, and I'm very
Which
curious.
Which one?
The voicemail from your friend.
Oh, the voicemail from my buddy Phil.
I keep looking
okay.
at this, and
yeah.
I'm like, I want to know what it is.
So, Daniel, you have to excuse us here for a sec. Just a little digression. I do a horrible Trump impression. And I don't know when it started of me doing it on the show weekly, but it started and it just hasn't ended. It's taken on a life of its own.
Every
and,
week a Trump episode, or Trump impression.
And my buddy Phil, who I've known for, gosh, almost 20 years now, who has his own podcast, because everybody does now, except for you, Daniel.
Yeah.
It's called Circus of Ego. It's very good. Listen to it. He calls me just randomly out of the blue, and I can barely make out what he is saying. And at first, I think,
oh, this is going to be great audio for the podcast.
This is going to be good. I'm actually going to maybe send it to you so you can cut it.
Put it in the mic.
So
and
this,
let's see
here
what
we
happens.
Go. This is going to be pretty good. This is my buddy Phil calling me to describe something. So check this out.
You're going to do your next show, fucking all your shows, all the time with your goddamn Trump voice. It's so bad, but I can't stop laughing, man. You killed me. I'm fucking laughing out loud right now, driving around like a fucking idiot. Ah, shit, man. It's good stuff. It needs a little work, but...
All right, all right, all right. So,
you just wanted to play on the podcast someone stroking your ego.
It's not stroking. He's talking about how
it's
bad
very
it
Trump-like
is.
Of you.
It's exactly. Right. He's talking about why do you keep making me do this thing? This
because
fucking
it's
Trump
funny.
Thing. It's
I enjoy
terrible.
It. Look, as long as he's going to keep fucking up this country...
Now listen, I listen to Phil's fucking horrible podcast too, Circus of Ego. It's terrible. It's a disaster.
I don't know why it's so funny, but it
is. This is what's awful, and you make me do it every time. I see I even do the little hand thing, keeping it out here. It's terrible. Why do I do this?
If
Daniel.
I closed my eyes and had to guess whose voice you were doing without knowing... I would say you were doing a bad Mayor Quimby.
I have said that several times. That's where
or a shitty Kennedy.
Shitty Kennedy.
Yeah.
Shitty Kennedy. I can't do a Trump, and he makes me do it every single week.
I just enjoy it.
Yeah, I would make you do it too.
All right,
I just enjoy it. It's fun to just watch you do it because you lean into the mic and you try so hard.
I'm really working on it. It's I can't figure it out.
You have new mannerisms.
I got 4 years. 4 years. Hopefully not 4 years, but we'll get there.
Right.
And it is Mayor Quimby.
Yeah.
It's basically
oh,
exactly
definitely.
What it is. Yeah.
All right, fella.
Thank you for being the only one of my friends that knows that, by the way.
Oh, really?
I'll tell people at work, it's Mayor Quimby, and they look at me like, from The Simpsons? And they go, "What? Is that on After Family Guy? Yeah.
Simpsons? You know, I'm going to argue with you again. Not a huge.
You're
Simpsons.
Not a fan.
You need to leave.
I'm not going
to
say I'm not a fan.
Leave
I will
your
not
own
say
house.
I'm not a fan. I understand the importance of The Simpsons. I get it.
Okay.
I used to watch The Simpsons back before it was The Simpsons when it was on the Tracy Ullman show.
Right.
So don't tell me I don't know about The Simpsons. I do.
But what?
I don't watch it like religiously.
Okay.
I don't watch it anymore.
Between Family Guy or Simpsons, I'd go Family Guy.
Oh, I can't stand Family Guy.
Really?
I can't stand. That's the wrong word. But I don't watch it. I never got it. Like, I'll watch it, and I'll see friends, like, cracking up, and I'm just like, I don't... It's just reference.
A lot of people don't like the cutaways. I love the cutaways.
The dartboard cutaways.
And here's the best part about the cutaways. The cutaways, I think, are the best because you can watch any Family Guy episode, and you will forget the cutaways. So I've seen South Park a million times. Like, there was a point in my life to where, for a year, we had nothing but the first, like, I don't know, 12 seasons of South Park, but we never had cable. So if we wanted to watch TV... It was South Park. Like, that's all we had. So we watched everything all the time, and we'd keep rewatching our favorite episodes over and over and over. If I watch it now, I'd probably go like, eh. Like, that's funny. Like, I remember that. But like Family Guy, I can watch him like, hey, remember that time when so-and-so happened? And I would not remember it at all. And then, boom, it would be something really funny. And I could actually re-laugh again.
Yeah. I can do that with The Simpsons, though, too.
Yeah, I could do that a lot with The Simpsons. Yeah. I think, yeah,
well,
for me...
with The Simpsons, you also have, like, 30 years of episodes to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the characters for me were just so much more like identifiable, and I could see them struggling, and that something like like Mo is just such a sad human being, and it's just so fun. Which I just never saw that in Family Guy. It was more about the jokes than it was about like the actual characters themselves. I mean, obviously they have to build them up somehow, or else it wouldn't be a TV show. But
I can get how you would identify with the Scottish janitor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Makes sense.
You didn't grow up in Fresno, okay?
I heard my dude. I'm not gonna lie to you. I called Mike about an hour before you got here. I go, dude, last minute. I just got Daniel on the podcast. Like, can you give me like a little bit?
And he goes,
Just ask him about Fresno because he's got it. He's got a million white trash. Trailer trash stories from everybody in Fresno.
That's awesome.
I
don't know anything about
Fresno.
He's
been to Fresno.
Has he?
He told me it wasn't that bad. Yeah, we did a Bigfoot Chasers episode up in Shaver Lake. Bass Lake? No, we went to Shaver Lake, California, and Fresno's, you kind of got to go to Fresno and then cut over to Shaver, so we stayed the night in Fresno.
Right.
Our buddy Andre's from Fresno, but he calls it Fres Yes. Is that a thing up there?
What?
I've heard some people like say that.
He's like, Fresno, Fres Yes. Andre's not funny.
No.
We should get him on our show.
Right, no, we
should. Does he still live in Fresno?
No, he's a San Diego Police Department officer.
Oh, then he's very funny, and I
love
him. And, and if he ever pulled me over, I'd tell him how much I thought he was funny.
He'd be like, hey, Fresno, right?
Ticket, no.
559.
Yes.
Yeah. Tick, yes.
Tick, yes.
Well, Daniel, we know you got a heart out. You got a gig tonight.
You got a heart out.
Is that what you call it?
A heart out.
Heart out.
It's in the podcast world. You got a heart out. So, but we do want to bring back a feature that we haven't done in a while. We thought you'd be really good at it.
Okay.
Beach?
It's been a long time.
Yeah,
we've been going. It's been a very, very long time since we've done this because we've had a lot of repeat guests that we've already done it with. Since you are a brand new guest of the podcast, we want to bring back a segment called In the Spotlight.
Oh,
there it is.
Clap for, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll clap.
I don't remember. It's been
boo.
I'll clap. All right, here's what's going to happen. No, you got it. You're good. Shut it.
Next.
All right, here we go. Okay. We got a segment called In the Spotlight.
I just want to point out, I love how you guys have a visual gag on a podcast.
It's great radio.
Oh, it's good radio.
You could say that you turn the lights off and no one would know.
Yeah, but we're method.
We're method podcasters.
Yeah.
All right,
why'd you make me take my pants off, by the way?
Oh, that's just...
Might have been off the whole time.
That's just for me.
Glass table.
Here we go. We're going to play a segment called In the Spotlight. Here's how it works, Daniel. All right. We're going to ask you 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 10 questions. You have 3 seconds to answer. There is no skipping. There is no passing.
Are these like fact... like? Are they about me or they're just questions?
They're just questions. You have 3 seconds to answer. There is no skipping. There is no passing.
Got it. And I have to give you an answer?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yep.
Spotlight. All right, here we go. Starting in the spotlight with Daniel Leaches. Top, you get a choice. Top 2 comics to perform with?
Let's say Bill Burr or Louis C.K.
All right, favorite comedy album of all time?
Oh, okay. Jim Gaffigan's Beyond the Pale and, well, you only asked for one, I guess.
Would you rather drown a puppy or a kitten?
Ooh, kitten for sure.
All right. Do you really think my brother is funny?
Yeah.
All right. In-N-Out or TGI Fridays?
In-N-Out.
All right. If he had to be addicted to something bad for you, what would it be?
In-N-Out.
Should politics play in entertainment award shows?
In-N-Out. sure.
All right. What's your favorite childhood sitcom?
Simpsons.
Okay. Who is in your celebrity death poll for this year?
You mean like celebrities I think are going to die? That's the end of 3
That'd
seconds,
be it.
Isn't it? Okay.
Nope, you're good.
Oh.
Go.
That I think are going to die?
Damn it.
I don't know.
Celebrity death pool. Who do you think is going to croak?
Who's old right now? Everybody's old, right? I don't know.
Gene Hackman.
I
don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really pay. Yeah, I guess.
All right.
You know?
surprised that's the one he didn't want to answer. All right, here we go. Last question.
Oh, I thought that was the end. That's why.
President Donald Trump invites you to the White House. What do you charge for a performance, and what is the first thing you say to him? It can be uninhibited with zero consequences.
Oh, $10 million. I mean, if he wants me that
be
bad.
Be reasonable.
Well, if a million at least.
Okay, a million.
At least, okay. I could say anything to him?
Uninhibited, zero consequences.
Zero consequences?
Right.
I'd slap him in the face.
Perfect. And that's it.
There it is.
There we go.
Perfect answer. Let me get these lights back
no
on.
No words, just a smack in the face for Mr. President
and
Donald Trump.
Give me my $1 million.
Right.
Love it. I should have charged more than a million.
Nah, I mean...
I'd have done it for pizza and gas money, I'll be honest.
A meal's good. All right, buddy.
Hey, it was a pleasure meeting you, dude.
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for having me.
I can sit here and talk comedy for 5 more hours.
Sure. When does the podcast start? When do we start recording?
We're going to...
We have a podcast?
Because I'm warmed up now, so when do we record?
Yeah, this is going to warm me up. Well, just think of it this way. This was a warm-up for your show tonight at 7:30 and 9:30 at the Comedy Palace, which was 2 days ago for everybody listening. So in 2 weeks...
might be a week. I don't know. You'd have to go. I don't know the exact date. It's written down, but it's on my website, danieletchis.com.
And you have a Twitter?
Twitter, yeah. Instagram are both the same, at Dan Etchus, D-A-N, and then E-A-C-H-U-S. Also on Facebook. Don't add the fan page, my actual page. I don't use that fan page.
That fan page. Yeah. Don't do that one.
Add my real page.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be following both of those.
Don't even look at my fan page. There's too many fans there.
Oh, and can I say, I also do original sketches with a buddy of mine on Instagram, at Shorts on Shorts.
Okay.
Yeah, we put out a new sketch every week.
I'm going to follow that right after we're done recording.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. I pulled it up on danleeches.com.
Oh, yeah.
The 10th, Blue Door Winery at 7 p.m., Spring Valley, California at California Soul, L.A. at Westside Comedy Theater, Long Beach at Fox Coffee headlining, and, oh, there we go. The 19th, Madhouse Comedy Club, San Diego at 7:30, headlining Like a Big Dog.
Yeah, that's right. Mm, might have to go to that. The 19th.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah, we'll might have to go. Down.
Yeah, football's done. Why not?
Let's do it.
You're like the next most important thing in our lives other than football and church.
I appreciate it.
You're like third in our lives.
And then a tie for Seinfeld and The Simpsons, right?
Right. Yeah, you're right about what I feel about Seinfeld and The Simpsons.
Okay.
Yeah.
To get combined.
All right.
Thanks for coming out, buddy.
Thanks for coming out. Diane Bijan McGivley.
Mike Bissett.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. How are we doing? Good? Yes. Good. This is awesome. It was a good day today. Yeah, it was. It's been months now. I'm still holding strong to my New Year's resolution, which is awesome. This year for New Year's, I gave up. I just gave up. Doing it. This is the year, man. This is the year, 2015. This is the year all my friends have been trying to get me to start working out, gaining muscle and stuff. I've just never had a reason to work out before. People are always like, oh, it makes you feel great. I'm like, oh, so does In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. Right? I just know too many people are way too buff for no reason at all. Those never use that amount of buffness in their daily life. It's like, oh, I work out all day, every day. I'm so ready for my job at the Sprint store. Bro, phones aren't that heavy. Don't worry about it. That's too much, right? No one's ever going to remember that when you're gone. That's never on a gravestone. It's like, here lies Daniel, a loving son, a good person, abs of steel, and very crisp glutes. Never forget that Thursday was leg day. I'll never be that guy, man. I'm the skinny guy. I'm that dude every time I ride in the car with my friends. I just have to sit in the back, in the middle. I'm just like, why am I being punished for eating less? My buddy's like, you just don't weigh enough to sit in the front without a car seat. Some people like get disgusted that I'm so skinny. It's like, oh my god, eat a sandwich. Like all I have to do is lie and everything changes. I'm like, actually, I just lost 300 pounds. Like, oh my god, you look so good. I like it. I like being skinny. My friends never call me up to help them move. If they do, just like, hey, we're going to get this couch real quick. Daniel, just carry the pillows. Carry both of them, thank you. Doing curls. I'm trying to be more manly. My buddy wants me to get a tattoo, which I can never do. I'm scared of needles. Oh, my God. It'd be like, Daniel, what happened to that tiger you were going to get? I'd be like, yeah, the needle hurt. Now I just have a comma. I'm thinking about finishing into a semicolon. Now I'll get the winky face. I couldn't do it. I have plenty of friends who have tattoos. I know a girl in particular. She's got them like all on her arms, all the way up to her neck. And that's a little too much for me. She thinks it makes her look younger. She's like, you can't even see my wrinkles. I'm like, yeah, but you look like a wall in the ghetto. It's too much. My buddy Dave, same thing. He's got the works, the two full sleeves, everything. He always complains to me about not being able to get a job. He's like, I don't get it, man. I'm like, dude, what's not to get? Like, you got a tattoo of a demon on your neck. You should have been smarter about this and gotten a tattoo of your resume. It's like, hey, check it out. Shift leader Burger King, 04 to 08. Oh, I couldn't do it, though. I'm scared of needles. I'm scared of spiders, too. Oh, my God. I freak out. It's like I'm getting mugged, but really, I wish it was that easy. Like, here, take my wallet. Leave my family alone. It's like getting mugged. Actually, it's worse than getting mugged. The dude could have a gun in my face. If there's a spider on that gun, I'd be like, oh, my God. A spider. Shoot me. Now. It's scary. I turned into such a wussy, I'll use anything to kill him. Like, no joke, I once killed a spider by spraying it with Febreze. Until it drowned. I don't even think the spider cared. He's like, ah, fresh to death. The worst, I hate them. I especially hate when you go into your own house and you see like a spider like on the wall in your room. It's like running into an ex at a party. It's like, how'd you get in here? I thought I got rid of you. You're bigger than I remembered. That is scary. You guys are fun. I always feel weird going anywhere with like food. People always treat me like I'm 12 years old. They're like, hey, buddy, are you going to eat all that? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm an adult. I'm not just going to waste my Happy Meal. My most memorable time at a restaurant was I pranked at TGI Fridays. I got all dressed up, had like a nice button-down t-shirt on, slacks, nice shoes. I went there alone. I went up to the hostess. I was like, hi, Daniel, party of 11. She's like, would you like me to wait till your friends arrive? I was like, no thanks, that won't be necessary. They'll be here. It's my birthday. She's like, oh, okay, happy birthday. I like sat down, got a drink, 15 minutes went by, still no friends, started like worrying. Another 20 minutes went by, a waitress came up to me, is everything all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm just waiting, I got some food. Finally, it had been an hour at this point. Still no friends, still eating alone. Waitress came up to me, she's like, look, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't think your friends are coming. So I started to cry. And that's how you get a free steak dinner at TGI Fridays, ladies and gentlemen. You guys have been awesome. My name's Daniel Eaches. Thank you.